Okay, we're beginning here, three lines from the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Bet. The Gemara here asks, "B'te'asar b'shchiva da'achuta, she's become problematic to her husband because of the relationship that he had with her sister. Midedhava aisha shalach balad midinat hayam, similar to an instance where a woman's husband went overseas, and if she has then a relationship with an individual because she thinks that her husband passed away." When her husband comes back and we find out that the information is wrong, she has to divorce the man that she married in the interim, as well as her husband who went overseas. So why don't we say the same thing with regards to the case that we had mentioned above, where an individual's wife and brother-in-law went overseas. Now his wife and the brother-in-law who's married to his wife's sister are overseas and presumed to have passed away. Since they were presumed to pass away, the husband who's at home marries the brother-in-law's wife, which is his wife's sister, presuming that they are both have passed away. Over there we said that even though the sister-in-law, his wife's sister, cannot return to her husband, to the brother-in-law, nevertheless, the husband who is here can take back his wife who went back overseas. And the Gemara said that she is not affected by the fact that her husband had a relationship with her sister. The Gemara says, why not? Why don't we parallel the cases and say, just like by the case of a woman who presumes that her husband had passed away, in this case, that is the situation faced by the sister-in-law, his wife's sister, and his brother-in-law, her husband. So she cannot return to her husband. Why don't we say the same thing with regards to his wife? That she should not be able to return to her husband because of the relationship her husband had with her sister. It says, lo dami. The two cases are not similar. By ishto, by his wife, dibemezida sira midoraita, if his wife had a consensual extramarital affair, she would be asur min haTorah to go back to her husband. Bishogeg, in the case where she goes ahead and relies on Beit Din or an Eid Echad, and so she is not a mezid, but a shogeg. It's unintentionally she was in an extramarital affair. Therefore, gazru ba rabbanon. The rabbanon there instituted that she would have to, if the husband shows up, divorce and lose her ability to be married to her husband. But achot isha, by the case of his wife's sister, dibe mezid, lo asira midoraita, if the husband has a consensual affair with his wife's sister, over there, min haTorah, the husband can go back to his original wife. There is no restriction, min haTorah, for the husband to go back to his original wife. Bishogeg, therefore, in a case where it was unintentional, like the case here, where his wife and his brother-in-law went overseas and were presumed to be dead, and therefore he marries his wife's sister, lo gazru ba rabbanan. There, the rabbanan for sure did not make it asur for his wife to return to him because of his relationship with her sister. Because even in an intentional mezid relationship with his wife's sister, his wife would not be asura to him. So therefore, in the case where it's unintentional, there the rabbanan goes there. Uminalan de lo asira. So the rabbanan wants to know underlying that, how do you know that she is not asura? Where the husband has a consensual extramarital affair with the wife's sister, how do you know that the husband then can return to his original wife? Tanya, because you have a braita, ota, which is from Parshat Sota, which is Shachav Ish Ota. Ota Shchivata Osarta. Her or she, her bi'ah affects her. Ve'ein Shchivat Achuta Osarta. But the bi'ah of her sister does not affect her, meaning that if the woman herself has an extramarital affair, that will impact her and then make her asura to return to her husband. On the other hand, the shchiva, the bi'av, her sister, with her husband, will not affect her ability to return to her husband. It's only bi'av with the wife that affects the wife's ability to go back to her husband, but the bi'av with her sister does not affect her ability to return to her husband. Shecho, why do I need a posuk to tell me that, that's the case, that she is not affected by her sister's behavior, or her husband's behavior with her sister? Why would you have thought otherwise? Because alo dinhu, because you would have said there is a kal v'chomer. Uma b'makom shebal isur kal, in an instance where there is a lighter form of isur that is violated, ne'amar ha'usir ne'asar ha'usir. In that instance, the one who causes the isur becomes asur. Makom shebal isur chamur. In an instance where they get into a situation which involves a violation of a much more serious issue, in udin she'ne'asar ha'usir, certainly over there, the one who's causing the isur should become asur. Now, I'll interpret it based on the conclusion of the Gemara, just so we can understand what it's saying here. The Gemara later on will discuss what exactly this kal and the chamur is, but assuming based on the conclusion of the Gemara that kal means eshedish. In a case where a person is married, and therefore the wife is restricted from engaging in activities with other men because of her husband, so her husband is the usir over here, if she violates that restriction of eshedish, Nesar ha'usir, the one who caused the problem, the one who makes her asur, which is the husband, now is asur. She can't return to her husband in that instance. In a case, makom shebal isur chamur, the isur chamur here is the achot isha, and we'll explain why later in the Gemara, eshed ish is kal, and achot isha is more chamur. So in the case of achot isha, where it's more chamur, where the husband has a relationship with his wife's sister, in udin shenasar ha'usir, certainly, the one who causes the isur here, the one who causes the isur is his wife. Because the reason he's asur with this woman is because it's his wife's sister. Certainly, she should become restricted over here and not be able to return to her husband. Amar Reb Yehuda. So now we move on to a braita, and then we'll come back and discuss all of this. Amar Reb Yehuda, lo nechelku beit Shemayu beit Hillel. Beit Shemayu beit Hillel do not disagree. Baal chamuto, someone who has a consensual relationship with his mother-in-law. Shepuselet ishto, that he cannot return to his wife, that his wife is now off limits. Alma nechleku. So then what is the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Bebaal achot ishto. In an instance where he has a relationship with his wife's sister. Shebeit Shammai umrim pusel. Beit Shammai says that restricts his wife from returning to him, like the Kal v'chomer that we just brought. Beit Hillel umrim lo pusel. Beit Hillel says it does not restrict his wife from returning to him, based on the drasha from the pasuk of Ota, that her shchiva hurts her, but the shchiva of her sister does not hurt her. So Beit Hillel subscribes to the limit from the pasuk, which undermines the Kal v'chomer. Beit Shammai does not have the limit from the pasuk, and therefore the Kal v'chomer is dictating. As far as chamuto, the Gemara will later ask, how do you know the fact that if a person has a consensual relationship with his mother-in-law, that affects his ability to stay married to his wife, and they'll bring the source for that. Amar Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, the Tana Rabbi Yossi believes that was not the machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but lo nechloku Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, beva achot ishto shelo posel. Everybody agrees where he has a relationship with his wife's sister, that does not affect shelo posel et ishto. That does not affect his wife's ability to return to her husband, based on the limud that we brought above, which is, v'shechav ish ota, ota shchivata osrata, v'en shchivata, so that's why, and both of them agree that the consensual relationship with his wife's sister does not affect his ability of his wife to stay married to him. And then what is their machloket? Bebal chamuto. In a case where he has a consensual relationship with his mother-in-law. Beit Shammai umrim posel. Beit Shammai says he cannot return to his wife after that, or his wife cannot return to him. Beit Hillel umrim lo posel. Beit Hillel says it does not impact. And again, we'll see the limudim, the fi. Shebetechila hu mutar. In the beginning, before they are married, he is mutar b'chol anashim. He can marry any woman he chooses. Hu mutar b'chol anashim shebolam. He is permitted to marry whomever he chooses in the world. V'hi mutaret b'chol anashim shebolam. And she can marry whoever she chooses in the world. Meaning that the world is open to each of them because neither of them are found in a relationship. If he already established kiddushin with a woman, then who osra, vihi asrato. He makes her asura, and she makes him asur. Meruba isur she asra, misur she asrato hu. The restrictions that he causes for her are much greater than the restrictions that she causes for him. Shehu Asra b'chol anashim sheolam. Because once he has halachic engagement with this woman, she now becomes restricted to all the men in the world. There's no man in the world that she's then permitted to marry. Vihi lo asratahu ela bikro vota. On the other hand, the husband over here, once they have kiddushin, is only restricted in her relatives. He's not restricted in other women. Assuming that polygamy is permitted, he could have other wives. Other women are not restricted. The only women that are restricted to him are the relatives of his wife. Valo dinu. And then this is a kal v'chomer. Uma hu shasra b'chol anashim she'be'ulam. He who causes her to be restricted with all the men in the world. Shagaga basurla. If she has an unintentional relationship with someone who is restricted to her. Eina ne'aseret. There, eina ne'aseret b'mutarla. She does not become restricted in the one that is permitted to her. I mean, she's not restricted from going back to her husband. Because only in a consensual extramarital affair is she restricted to her husband. But in a case of mizid or shogeg, she would not be restricted to return to her husband. So he, shalosar tahu, ela bikrovotah, she who only causes him to be restricted in her relatives, shagag basurlo. If he has an unintentional relationship, for instance, with her sister, inudin shalo ne'esar bimutarlo, certainly he should not be restricted in his wife. So on the level of shogeg, we have a kal v'chomer that teaches us that there's no reason to believe that a relationship between a man and his wife's sister should have any impact on his wife. Because as regards to his wife herself, even she, who, in a case of an intentional relationship, would be restricted, but nevertheless, in unintentional relationships, she is allowed to return to her husband, despite the fact that her isur is much greater. So certainly over here, where the isur for the husband with the wife's sister is a more limited isur, because it's the relatives of his wife, but other women he would be mutar in. So certainly over there, an unintentional relationship should not affect his ability to go back to his wife, or his wife's ability to go back to him. So that is Zadin. That din works, so this kal v'chomer works, l'shogeg. That worked when you're talking about an unintentional. L'mezid. But when it's an intentional, consensual relationship, minayin, how do we know that's true? Because there, by consensual relationship, if his wife engages in a consensual extramarital affair, she cannot return to her husband. So now you don't have a kal v'chomer. What are you going to do with regards to his wife's sister? If they engage in consensual relationship, is his wife then asur to him or not? That we don't know. So, ota. That's what the pasuk comes to teach us. That ota, shchivata, usrata. Only with regards to the wife does her bi'ah affect her ability to return to her husband. Ben shchivat, achuta, usrata. But her sister's relationship will not affect her ability to return to her husband. And that's what we brought from the pasuk above. As Rabbi Yossi is explaining, this is the explanation for the position of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, who according to Rabbi Yossi agree that a consensual relationship with his wife's sister does not restrict his wife from returning to him. So that's the explanation of Rabbi Yossi's shita. Now, we have to understand the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position. And then that will help us with the remainder of Rabbi Yossi's position as well, which is Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Reish Lakish, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position that he says that everybody agrees if one has a consensual relationship with his mother-in-law that he may not return to his wife, or his wife may not return to him? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "Be'esh yisrufu oto ve'ethen," that he will be put to death, oto he ve'ethen. Ethen means them. Them means his wife and his mother-in-law. If he has a relationship, the din is b'sreifa. And the same question that we posed in yesterday's daf, which is, v'chikol abayit kula b'sreifa, that you have to burn the whole house down? Meaning that, what did his wife do wrong over here? He married his wife. It was a perfectly good relationship. The problematic relationship here is between her husband and the mother-in-law, or her mother. So those two should be b'sreifa. Why is the wife, who is properly married to her husband, done nothing wrong, subject to sreifa? Imenu inyan l'sreifa. So certainly the punishment should not affect the wife. Tanei ul inyan isura. We're going to say that even though she is not punished by sreifa, nevertheless she is subject to the isur. And that is that if her husband has a consensual relationship with her mother, that will restrict her from now returning to her husband. And that's why she's included in this sreifa, oto vethen. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns out that a consensual relationship with one's mother-in-law will then restrict the wife from returning to the husband. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that a consensual relationship with a mother-in-law restricts the wife from turning to her husband, this is the source for that. According to Rabbi Yossi, who has Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel arguing about this issue, then Beit Shammai, who says that the wife is restricted, will subscribe to this limud. On the other hand, Beit Hillel, who says that's not the case, will not subscribe to this limud. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. In this machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi as to what the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Haug ad avidi sura bichamate. And there was an incident where an individual had an extramarital affair with his mother-in-law. Atya Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda brought him and nagde and gave him malkot. Amar le, ilav de Amar Shmuel in halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who quotes, and the name is Rabbi Shmuel, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda the Tano. He says, had it not been the fact that Shmuel says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather like Rabbi Yossi, and under Rabbi Yossi's halacha, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that, then under Rabbi Yossi's halacha, a consensual relationship between a husband and his mother-in-law, according to Beit Hillel, does not restrict the wife from returning to her husband. Whereas for Rabbi Yehuda, if one has a consensual relationship with their mother-in-law, then both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that it's problematic. So he says, the fact that Shmuel said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda puts it in a position where, Asrita alach yisurad da'alam, I would have made your wife restricted to you. So because the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who says that Beit Hillel says a consensual relationship with one's mother-in-law does not restrict his wife, I have to let your wife go back to you. I can't stop you from going back to your wife because that's the halacha. He gave him a malkot because, of course, of his behavior. Obviously, here it seems that there were no witnesses to the behavior so that it can be punished by Amitat Beit Din. And therefore, he gave malkot because of the inappropriate behavior or the rumors that were circulating. But nevertheless, he can't force the wife and the husband here to separate because the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Beit Hillel says that a consensual relationship between a husband and his mother-in-law does not restrict the wife. On the other hand, he says, if Shmuel had never said that in halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and we subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position, then I would have forced you to separate from your wife. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that a consensual relationship between a husband and a mother-in-law would restrict the wife from returning to her husband. Now the Gemara goes back to the original part of this sequence and says, "My Isur Kal." What is the Isur Kal that we were talking about? As we mentioned before, that in the case of an Isur Kal, we say that the one who caused the problem then becomes restricted. So certainly in the case of Isur Chamur, the one who causes the problem should become restricted. The question is, what is the Isur Kal? The Isur Chamur seems pretty clearly that that is Achot Isha, because that's what we're trying to prove over here, that Achot Isha should cause a problem for the woman to return to her husband. That if her husband has a relationship with the wife's sister, that should restrict the wife from going back to the husband. So that's the chamur piece. The kal piece that we're trying to learn the kal v'chomer verb, what is that kal piece? So here we're going to have a series of amoraim proposing possibilities of what this Isur Kal is. So my Isur Kal, Amar Rav Chista, machzir grushato mishenisait. It's an Isur Kal is a case where a person takes back his wife after she's already married another individual. So the Isur Kal over here is an Isur Lav of being machzir grushato. So that's why it's called an Isur Kal, because here we're talking about a Lav. By Achot Isha, we're talking about Karet. So ba'aleha, hai. So in an instance where an individual divorces his wife, and then she engages in a relationship permissibly with another party, that individual, that second husband, Asra alei dahai, causes her now to be restricted from returning to her original husband, husband number one. But then, bala idach, if after she then divorces from the second husband and returns to the first husband, even though returning to the first husband is asur, because that's machzir grushato, nevertheless, when she does return to her first husband, asra alei dahai, he causes now the second husband to be restricted from taking this woman back. Because then, it's the equivalent of someone who divorces, marries another party. So even though the party that she's marrying here is her original husband, it still will restrict her from now returning to the second husband. So here that's called Ne'esar Ha'oser. Over here, the Oser is husband number two, because he is Oser, the woman, to go back to her original husband. And in this instance, when she does violate that Easter and goes back to her original husband, Ne'esar Ha'oser, the one who caused the first husband to be restricted, now becomes Asur with the action of the first husband. The second husband now becomes restricted. So here we have Ne'esar Ha'oser, the one who caused the Easter to the first husband, now becomes restricted from the activity or the violation of the first husband. So for based on that, we would extrapolate then and say, where there it's a much more chamur isur that we're talking about. In that instance, we should also say the Oser, who is his wife here, she's the one that causes her sister to be restricted to her husband. And certainly over there, where they have a relationship, there's a violation relationship between the husband and his wife's sister. Certainly that should lead to the Oser being Nasar, the wife who's causing the sister to be restricted. That should cause her then to be restricted to go back to her husband. But it says those two are not comparable, because Mala Machzir Grushato Mishinisait, in the instance where he takes back his wife after she marries another party, Shagain, there's a difference between this and the case of Ochotisha. Number one is Nitma Aguf. She herself is Tmeya. She herself had the bi'a that will now not allow her to return to her original husband. That's number one. The Isura Birov. And she has Isura Birov, which Rashi takes out of the Girsa. The Isura Isur Olam. And that restriction is a permanent restriction. So let's deal with each one of them separately. In terms of Nitma Aguf, over here, the reason that the woman can't return to her original husband, who she divorced, is because she herself had an intimate relationship with another man. And that's what prevents her now from returning to her original husband. On the other hand, by Achot Isha, the wife is not involved in any intimate relationship. It's her husband's relationship with the wife's sister that's causing the problem. But here, she herself did nothing wrong. That's number one reason to say that the two cases are not comparable. Number two is, by the case of Machzir Grushato, once she marries a third party, then she is restricted from returning to her original husband permanently. That can never be changed. On the other hand, by Achot Isha, one's wife's sister is only restricted as long as the wife is alive. Once his wife passes away, that Isur goes away. So that's another reason, or another kula, that would say that we cannot extrapolate from Machzir Grushato to the case of Achot Isha. The last of them here, which is a machlok between Rashi and Tosafot, as to whether it should appear here, Rashi eliminates it from the Girsa, and we'll see in the next sequence that he leaves it in the Girsa, and because of his explanation in the next Girsa, he can't fit it over here. On the other hand, Tosafot interprets Isura Barov differently, and therefore he says it can fit over here as well. And that's that Isura Larov means, Tomar, Ayadei Kol Adam Yecholiv Yavoli De Isur Zeh. Any man in the world can cause this restriction of Machzir Grushato. So that's what it means, Isur Barov, which is not true by the case of his wife's sister. His wife's sister, the only one who can cause the problem, is her husband. So it's a limited number of individuals, her husband, that can cause the problem over here, versus by Machzir Grushato, where anybody in the world, any man in the world, can cause the problem for the original husband. So because of all these three differences, that would no longer be a good Kal V'Chomer, because even though you're right, Machzir Grushato is an Isur Kal, and Achot Isha is an Isur Chamur, yep, but there are a number of items by Machzir Grushato that are more chamur than Achot Isha, and that would prevent us from learning the Kal V'Chomer. Elam Reish Lakish, Yivama. The case here of the Isur Kal is a case of Yivama. Yivama Leman. So here, in case of Yivama, which is the Isur Kal that she is violating? Ilei Melacher, that she goes ahead before she has Chalitza from one of the brothers, she goes ahead and gets married to a third party. In that case, where there's only an Isur Lav that is violated, and so that's an Isur Kal vis-a-vis the Achot Isha, which is an Isur Karet, Ukid Rav Amnuna. And like the day of Rav Amnuna we saw earlier, Tamar Rav Amnuna, Shomeret Yavam, Shizinta, Shomeret Yavam, who is waiting, Yavama, who's waiting to have Yibum perform with her, that has Nut, means she has a relationship with a third party, Asura Yavma, then she cannot return to her Yavam. So Mali Yavma. So therefore, here you have a case where the Oser is Ne'esar. In the case here, the Oser is the Yavam. The Yavam is the one who's causing this woman to not be able to have relationships with outside parties. And then when she does have a relationship with an outside party, then Nesar HaOser. Then she is now restricted from returning to the Yavam. The Yavam that was Oser now is restricted from taking his Yavama because of the Isur that was violated over here by the woman. So certainly in the case of Achot Isha, where the Isur is Chamur, that violation of the Isur should affect the one who's Oser. The one who's Oser here is his wife, because it's his wife's sister that is the problem. So the Gemara says, Ma'le Yavama, Shikain Nitmagu. Again, there are certain Chumrot by Yavama, which you cannot compare, which is number one, she is the one who's violated over here. She's the one who has Bi'ah, versus the Achot Isha, where it's her sister has the intimate relationship, but she herself does not. V'isura Barov. And now you have Isura Barov. Now the way Tosfot continues to explain it over here is Isura Barov means any man in the world can cause this problem. Because this woman who's waiting, she's a Shomeret Yavam, she will become stricted on her Yavam from any man that has a relationship with her. On the other hand, Rashi interprets V'isura Barov to mean L'chol Adam Hiyasura. She is restricted to any man. She's restricted to all men in the world, or to robe men in the world, aside from her Yavam. On the other hand, here by the case of Achot Isha, the wife's sister is only restricted to the husband. She's not restricted to any other men in the world. And now we also understand why Rashi would not use Yisua Barov in the case of Machzir Grushato. Because in the case of Machzir Grushato, she's not a sur to anybody. She could marry anyone she wants in the world. Because that's Rashi's interpretation of Yisura Barov, he couldn't fit it in to the case of Machzir Grushato. As opposed to Tosfot, whose definition fits in both instances. So there can't be the Isur Kal that we're learning the Kal v'chomer to Achot Isha from, because over here there are Chumrot associated with Yivama that don't appear by the case of Achot Isha. Ela Yivama v'achin. It's a case here where the Yivama is now restricted on the brothers. What's the case? Avad ba ma'amar. One of the brothers performed ma'amar with her. Here there's a machloket rishonim as to whether we are assuming here that ma'amar works mina Torah, which is Tosafot's assumption over here. Or we're talking about Avad Bamar is that Midrabanan. She performed Ma'amar with him over here. And therefore the restriction here is a restriction or a violation de Rabbanan. According to Tosafot, it would be a violation de Oraita of an Isur Kal. Rashi seems to indicate it's de Rabbanan. Tosafot says if it's only de Rabbanan, then what type of Kal v'chomer is this? You need a de Oraita. Those that criticize Tosafot and support Rashi's position suggest that if Ma'amar works de Oraita, then she's no different than an Arusa. Then she becomes exactly like an Arusa, and that is the same as Ishit Ish, then, and it's not a case of Yivama. And so then why is it an Isur Kal? If you say it's Ishit Ish, then just talk about the case of Ishit Ish. Now, so, Hai, Asra Alei, Dehai. So in this instance, the brother who performs Ma'amar then restricts her on the remaining brothers. Ba'aleha Idach. If one of the other brothers then has an intimate relationship with this Yivama, Asra Alei Dehai. She is now, or he causes her to be restricted to the brother who originally performed Ma'amar. So the Oser over here is the brother who performed Ma'amar. He is Oser her on the remaining brothers. And then if one of those brothers goes ahead and has an intimate relationship with her, they now call the Oser to be an Asar. They cause the original brother now to be restricted from marrying the Yavama. Where it says, what type of case is that? Because there, my Iriya Shabala, Sheni. Why does he have to have bi'ah with her? I mean, why does one of the brothers have to have bi'ah with her, an intimate relationship with her, to restrict her to the original brother that did ma'amar? Afilo vad banami ma'amar. Even if the second brother performs ma'amar, then that will restrict the first brother from finishing off the yibum. It says, alokasha, that's not a problem, Rabbi Gamliel. This is according to Rabbi Gamliel, damar in ma'amar achar ma'amar. The second ma'amar has no impact over here because the first ma'amar is finished. Whatever possibly could be done with ma'amar, and then the second ma'amar is meaningless. So in that case, it's only bi'ah by one of the brothers that can cause the problem. Ella, that's not so true, because afilu natan la get, v'afilu chalatzla. If one of the other brothers, after one brother performed ma'amar with this yavama, one of the other brothers goes ahead and then hands her a get, or does chalitza with her, then she will also become restricted on the original brother that performed ma'amar. So what you see from this is that it's not associated with bi'ah. It's not associated with the illicit or improper bi'ah or intimacy that took place here. It's because of the zikah that exists there. And that zikah is what's causing the other brothers to have the ability to affect the original brother who performed ma'amar with her. And so this isn't a good scenario to compare to Achot Isha. By Achot Isha, the whole problem is the bi'ah. Over here, the problem is not necessarily biyah, it's the zikah, and therefore any of these acts will disqualify the original brother, even if there's no biyah, even though there's no violation over here. Elam Rabbi Yochanan. So now we try a new attempt by Rabbi Yochanan to what this Isur Kal is. He says it's a case of sota. Sota leman. So the sota to whom? A sota is both a surah lebal. She cannot then go back to her husband until she drinks the mei sota. And she's also a surah leboel. She's also restricted from having a relationship or marrying the man that she is suspected of having an extramarital affair with. So which one of these are we discussing according to Rabbi Yochanan? Ilema lebal. If it's with the husband, where the Torah tells us by the sota that there's a restriction midoraita for the husband to go back to his wife until she drinks, so that is an isur kal. It's not a chiyuv karet. It doesn't involve a serious violation. It's a much lighter violation in biyah. So then, ba'le ba'al asra ale de boel. So if the husband then has a relationship with this woman, she will then be restricted to go back to the man she suspected of having an extramarital affair with. Because at that point, she can no longer drink the mei sota. Since she can't drink the mei sota, she'll never be cleared. And since she'll never be cleared, she now will be asur to the boel. She will also be asur to her baal, even though they're engaging in a relationship or an improper relationship over here. So where it says, ma'iria baala. Why does the husband have to have an intimate relationship with his wife after he has suspected her of being a sota in order to restrict the boel? Afilu natan laget. Even if he divorces her at this point, she cannot go back to the boel, the one that she suspected of having the extramarital affair with, because she does not end up drinking the mei sota, and since she doesn't drink the mei sota, she can't free herself of that suspicion, and therefore she will remain a surah to the boel, even if her husband divorces her. Even if he says that I'm unwilling to take her up to have her drink the mei sota, since she can't clear her name, she will remain asur the baal and also asur the boel. So you see over here, what's causing the isur for the boel has nothing to do with the intimacy with her husband. It's not because she has a relationship with her husband after the suspicions that causes the boel to be asur. The boel is asur irrespective of her relationship with her husband. Even if her husband divorces her, even her husband just says, I'm not taking her up to drink. Tosafot over here discusses, how do you know that the husband has a right to say, I'm not going to take her up to drink the mei sota, and that she no longer then can drink the mei sota in order to clear her name. So, but either way, what we see from this is that it has nothing to do with her improper relationship with her husband that the boel is asur. The boel is asur irrespective of that issue. And so that can't be the kal v'chomer we're trying to establish over here. Ela sota le boel. Must be the case of the sota to her suspected consorter in this extramarital affair. Hayusur kalhu? That's an Isur Kal. Isur Chamurhu. That's an Isur of Eshed Ish. So since that's an Isur of Eshed Ish, then you can't be talking about an Isur Kal. Eshed Ish is a serious violation. Until now, we've assumed that the Isur Kal involved an Isur Lav, whereas Achol Tisha involved an Isur Karet. Over here, if you enter into the parsha of the Boel versus this woman, then you're talking about an Isur of Eshed Ish, which is a serious violation, even more Chamur than the violation of Achol Tisha. So the Gemara says, Hainu Eshed Ish. And then that would be Eshed Ish, which is subject to chenek, versus achol tisha, which is only subject to karet. Elo amar Rava, eshed ish. So Rava says in the end, the Isur Kal that we're talking about here is eshed ish. Which eshed ish is not clear. According to some of the Rishonim, eshed ish just means a normal marriage situation, not a situation of sota, where the woman has an extramarital affair. Or is the case, like we set up over here, a case of sota, where the husband not warned her not to seclude with this individual, and that she didn't listen and secluded with this individual, and now she becomes a sur the baal and a sur the boel because of a problem of eshed ish. She can't go out and marry this boel because that would be a violation of eshed ish. The reason for that, we'll see in a second why some of the Rishonim explain it this way. But Rava says it's eshed ish. So then, what's the kula by eshed ish that we have to explain? How is eshed ish more kal than the isur of achol tisha? So the Gemara explains, V'chem ki'ata Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eshed Ish. So when Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we had a different version of Rabbi Yochanan before of Sota. Over here, he says that Rabbi Yochanan really said Eshed Ish. Umay kari lo Isur Kal. So then, why is Eshed Ish considered to be a lighter Isur versus Achol Tisha? Shein Osra. Osra ko yamav. Because it's not a permanent Isur. Eshed Ish can be dissolved through a get, through Gerushin, through a divorce. So the erva veshedish is not permanent. It can be unwound either by the death of the husband or by gerushin from the husband. Whereas achot isha, as long as his wife is alive, even if he's divorced from her, the wife's sister remains restricted as long as his wife's alive. So that's the kal to chamur that we're talking about here. Tami nami hochi, we have a brayta that supports that understanding. Abachana namar mishum Rabbi Elazar, eshed ish. That is the kal over here. Makom haba al isur kal, sheina osra kol yamav. And here's the kal b'chomer. In an instance where a woman has an extramarital affair by the eshed ish, which is an isur kal because it's not a permanent isur, because it can be removed from this woman, nesar hoser. Over there, the husband now is restricted from marrying his wife. He's the one who causes her to be asur to olam. She goes ahead and has an extramarital affair. She now becomes asura to him. Habal isur chamur. Someone who violates an isur chamur, which is achot ishto. Shosra usra ko yamav. His wife now calls him to be restricted in this woman, his wife's sister, permanently as long as she's alive. Enudin shenesar hosra. Then certainly the one who causes the isur here, which is the wife, should now be restricted from returning to her husband. Tamalomar ota. And that's why we have the pasuk to say, don't say this kal v'chomer. Ota shchivata osarta. The wife, her extramarital affair will restrict her from returning to her husband. Vein shchivata chuta osarta. On the other hand, the bi'av, her sister, will not affect her from returning to her husband. So that is the conclusion of this scenario. Tosafot already raises a serious issue over here, which is, why can't we say by Eshet Ish versus Achot Isha similar chumrot that we said by Machzir Grushato and by Yevama, which is that Pekei Nitma Aguf. In this case over here, the one involved in the problematic relationship by Eshet Ish is the woman herself, and she is the one who has Biyah, so Nitma Aguf, therefore she becomes Asura. On the other hand, by the case of Achot Ishto, it's her sister who has the intimate relationship. Why should that affect his wife who didn't have the intimate relationship herself? But also, the Isura Barov, at least according to Tosafot's explanation, Isura Barov means that any man can cause the Isur over here. By Eshet Ish, any party can cause the Isur of an extramarital affair. Whereas by Achot Isha, the only problematic relationship is the husband to the wife's sister. So you do have Chumrot by Eshet Ish. So Tosafot in the end says that since Eshet Ish is not a permanent Isur, that trumps. That's such a big factor that it no longer matters that Eshet Ish is more chamur, both because of Nitma Gufa, or because of Isura Barov, or even because of the punishment of Eshet Ish's chenek versus Achot Isha, which is only a big karet. None of those matter because the Isur is only quote-unquote temporary. It can be removed. And that factor makes it kal, no matter what other trappings you put on top of it. That is why some of the other Rishonim explained that the case here is a case of Sota, Eshet Ish. Because in that case, it's only a safek Eshet Ish. He had warned her not to isolate or to be secluded with this man, and she goes in and does it. Do we know for certain that she had a relationship with this man, or an intimate relationship, extramarital affair? No. We just have circumstantial evidence that it's that way because she violated her husband's restriction, but nevertheless, we don't know for certain. And that's what the Gemara is saying. The kal v'chomer is from a safek Eshet Ish to Achot Isha. And in the case of Safek Eshet Ish, all of these chumrot don't necessarily apply. Because even though she's restricted from going back to her husband, but we don't know for sure if she had the extramarital affair. So the issue of chenek and the issue of nitma gufa and all these other things are not a factor because we're not sure that it really happened. And despite the fact that we're not sure it happened, she still becomes restricted to her husband. Certainly by Achot Isha, where we know for sure it happened, there it's more chamur, there we should assume that it happened. So some of the Rishonim explain it as a continuation of being Eshet Ish in the context of Sota, in order to avoid these questions that Tosafot has about Eshet Ish being more chamur because of these other issues. So now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah that discussed Rabbi Yossi's opinion. If you remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi had made a somewhat cryptic statement, which we said the Gemara will explain, which is Rabbi Yossi Omer, Koshu posel ayidei acherim, posel ayidei atzmo. Koshu ein posel ayidei acherim, enu posel ayidei atzmo. So now the Gemara says, my Gemara Rabbi Yossi. What is this statement of Rabbi Yossi mean? If you're saying that the Kama says the azl ishto v'giso the medinat hayam, it's a case where his wife and brother-in-law went overseas. His brother-in-law, because he is married to his wife's sister, so they went overseas. Eshet giso asira v'ishto sharia. The Tanakama says that if they got word that the brother-in-law and his wife had passed away overseas, and then the remaining parties here, the husband and the wife's sister, get married because the others are considered to be dead, then we find out that that wasn't true. Then when the brother-in-law returns, he may not return to his wife. On the other hand, the wife can return to her husband because it was her sister who had the problematic relationship with her husband, but she herself had nothing done wrong, so she can return to her husband. On the other hand, the wife's sister, who was the case of where a case where Bala Halach Lemidinatayam, her husband went overseas, and she assumed him to be dead and has this relationship, she will not be permitted to go back to her husband. That's the position of the Tanakama. Vikamar le Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi is saying to the Tanakama, Kehechi di ishto sharia, eshit iso nami sharia. But just like his wife is permitted to return to him, certainly the brother-in-laws should be able to return to his wife, to the wife's sister. Why should there be any difference in this scenario? Mar says, Ihachi, if that's what you want to say that Rabbi Yossi believes, then kosha enu puseli yedei acharim, enu puseli yedei atzmo, then why does he frame it as anybody who does not pusel by others, enu puseli yedei atzmo, does not cause a problem for himself? The way it should read in the Mishnah is kol she'en puseli yedei atzmo. Anyone who is not restricted themselves, enu puseli yedei acharim, should not cause other people a problem, ibayle. That's what it should have said. Over here, since the husband and wife are permitted to return to each other, so therefore the husband then shouldn't cause a problem for his wife's sister, for the brother-in-law to return. Just like they're permitted to have their union reunited in the husband and wife scenario, so too the sister-in-law and brother-in-law should be permitted to reunite in that case. But that's not the language that Rabbi Yossi uses in the Mishnah. Bela, kihechi de eshet giso asira. So let's say it this way. This is how Rabbi Yossi is arguing on the Tanakam and saying, in the case where his wife's sister now becomes restricted to go back to her husband, to the brother-in-law, ishto nami asira. Certainly his wife should also now be restricted from coming back to him, because it'd be unfair that their relationship results in the fact that the wife's sister now restricted in her husband to the brother-in-law, but yet his wife can return to him without any issue. So where it says, hatinah, that you can explain one part of the statement of Rabbi Yossi, which is, kol shepusel ayidei acherim, someone who causes a problem for someone else. Here, the husband causes a problem for his brother-in-law by having that relationship with his wife's sister. So then, pusel yedei atzmo, he should affect himself as well, and he should restrict his wife from returning to him. But then, what do you do with the other statement of Yossi? It's kosher, ain't no pusel. Then, in the case where he does not restrict another party, then he himself should not be restricted. Mayavadei, what is the case then where that is manifest? So Tosafot, and many of the Yishonim ask, we do have a case like that. We have a case like that if his sister-in-law is not married. If his wife's sister is not married, and then his wife is presumed to have passed away overseas, then he marries his wife's sister. When she comes back, the sister-in-law, his wife's sister, is not a surah because she was not married to anyone. So therefore, he should be permitted to have his wife return to him. So there is a case like that. Why doesn't the Gemara answer that? So Tosafot says, because the language of the Gemara presumes that the case is a case where she is married, because it says there that giso vishto, his wife and his brother-in-law went overseas, which seems to imply that all the cases are talking a case of nisua, a case where the wife's sister is married, and not in a case where she is single, and therefore that is not an answer to this question. The Yerushalmi actually answers and says that exactly what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rabbi Yossi is saying when the sister-in-law is married, that his wife should be asur to him. On the other hand, where the sister-in-law is single, where she doesn't become a surah, so his wife should not become a surah to him. So that's exactly how the Yerushalmi explains it. The Gemara here rejects that understanding because of what Tosafot suggests over here, which is that the Gemara clearly seems to think, and based on the language, it seems like we're talking about a sister-in-law, a wife's sister that is married, because of the Lashon of a Yedei Acherim, that others are causing the problem. They have to be Acherim here. They have to be others here that you could possibly make a surah. In a case where the wife's sister is not married, there's nobody to make a sur over here. And therefore, yes, you're right about the conclusion, but it still doesn't fit the language that Rabbi Yossi is using. So, Amar Rabbi Ami, a resha, that it goes back on the resha. We were assuming Rabbi Yossi was actually addressing the Mishnah that we're talking about here. He's really addressing a Mishnah that's much earlier on, the front part of the Mishnah, which is, Yiseita pi beitin, teitzei, uptura mina korban. If a woman gets married based on the psak halacha of a beitin, Then if her husband shows up, she has to divorce the person she's married to, but she is indemnified from bringing a korban because she did it al pi beit din, al pi edim. If she married based on two edim, then teitse, again, she has to divorce the new husband, v'chayevet b'korban. In that case, she is chayevet to bring a korban because she doesn't have the indemnification of beit din, even though, again, she will not be penalized from returning to her husband because there she did it al pi shnei edim. In the first instance where she did it al pi echad with the psak of beit din, she'll be p'turah from a korban, but she will not be allowed to return to her husband, and she'll be subject to teitzei mizu mizu. In the second case where it's two edim, she will have to bring a korban, but she will be permitted to return to her husband. So yafeh kocho shel beit din, this is what the Mishnah says, that the power of beit din is strong enough, she p'turah min a korban, because it exempts her or indemnifies her that she does not have to bring a korban. V'kamar tanakama. And then on this, the Tanakhama says, Lo shna al pi edim, de eshet giso sharya. It doesn't matter if she got married based on two edim. And in the case where she got married based on two edim, and then the wife and brother-in-law show up, this woman, his wife's sister, would be allowed to return to her husband, to the brother-in-law, because she did it based on two edim. And she'll be permitted to return to her husband. And then, obviously, the wife will be able to return to her husband because there's no restriction that was violated. Veloshna pi beit din, and it doesn't matter according to the Tanakhama if it was done al pi beit din, di eshet giso asira. In that case, then the wife's sister would not be able to return to her husband, to the brother-in-law, because it was done al pi eid echad, and the penalty for doing it al pi echad for the chachamim is when the husband shows up, then there's a chamura in the back end, which is that she'll have to be divorced from everyone, including her original husband. But ishto sharya, in that case, his wife will still be permitted to return to him. V'kamalei Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi is responding to that Tanakhama, saying there's no differentiation as to whether the wife's sister is restricted from returning to her husband or not restricted from returning to her husband. In either scenario, the woman remains permitted to return to her husband. Al pi beit din, so Rabbi Yossi says, no, when it's al pi beit din, the posele de acherim, that over there, he causes a problem for his brother-in-law. His relationship with his wife's sister now causes his brother now to lose his wife. Then posele de atzmo, then he should lose his wife also in that case. Al pi edim, in the scenario where they got married based on two edim, deino posele de acherim. In that instance, his wife's sister can return to her husband because she married on two edim. And what was she supposed to do? She's an anusa, in a sense. She is unintentionally involved in extramarital affair. Therefore, she's allowed to return to her husband. There's no penalty because we didn't invoke a kula of the chachamim to use an eid echad. We used two edim, which is normal procedure. And so therefore, she's allowed to return to her husband. Eino posele de atzmo. Therefore, his wife will be able to return to him. And that's what the statement of Rabbi Yossi means. And that's why Rabbi Yossi was addressing that earlier piece in the Mishnah, which says it makes a difference how the woman got married. In the case where the woman got married with two edim, she's allowed to return to her husband. In the case where she got married al pi beit din, she will not be allowed to return to her husband. Tanakhama says it doesn't matter how this all happened. The husband will always be allowed to take back his wife because they're not affected by the wife's sister's restriction to her husband. Rabbi Yossi says that's not correct. If there is a restriction caused by the husband and the wife's sister's relationship, so that the wife's sister may not return to her husband, then the woman herself will not be able to return to her husband. In the case where the wife's sister can return to her husband, to the brother-in-law, then the woman herself can return to her husband. And that's what Rabbi Yossi's statement is addressing. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka amar de olam ha-seifa. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, no, it's really on this latter part of the Mishnah that we've been discussing until now, which is Eshet Giso and his wife that went overseas. Not a case where it's al pi edim versus al pi beit din. But then, what is the differentiation? Hadas le arusato v'giso. Situation is in a case where his arusa, he has kiddushin with a woman, and his brother-in-law, which is his wife's sister's husband, went overseas. Hadas le ishto v'giso. The other scenario is where his wife went overseas, but she was his full-fledged wife, consummated marriage, went overseas with his brother-in-law. Again, his wife's sister's husband. So the scenario will differ there depending on what his relationship with his wife is. If his relationship with his wife is that he's only has halachic engagement, kiddushin, then the outcome will be one way. If he is married and fully consummated marriage with his wife, then the outcome will be different. V'kamar Tanakama. And then the Tanakama says it this way. Loshna ishto v'giso, paloshna arusato v'giso. It does not matter how he is married to his wife, whether it's just halachic engagement or a consummated marriage. If she goes overseas with his brother-in-law, his wife's sister's husband, then in that case, ishid giso asira. When they return and they find out that the information was incorrect and that the husband who married his wife's sister did something wrong, in that case, the wife's sister will be restricted from going back to her husband, bishto sharia, and his wife will be permitted to return to him. V'kamar le Rabbi Yossi. And on that, Rabbi Yossi comments and says, ishto v'giso, by the case of his full-fledged wife and his brother-in-law that went overseas, t'lekademimar t'nahava le b'nisuin, over there, you cannot say that there was a condition built into his marriage. So therefore, de'enu posel ayedei acher, since in that case, he will not become restricted by someone else. Enu posel ayedei atzmo. So therefore, he will not become restricted himself. But in the case of arusato v'giso, in the case where he is unlawfully engaged to the woman and his brother-in-law go overseas, de'igal meimar t'na havalei b'kiddushin, over there, you could make the case that there was some sort of condition in his marriage to this woman that was not fulfilled, or some stipulation that then causes the kiddushin to dissolve. Therefore, pusel ayedei acherim, and therefore now the other party, the brother-in-law, will cause a problem for him. Apusel ayedei atzmo. So too, he will cause a problem for himself. Let's explain the case. The case here, or the chashash that we're speaking about, is something that we discussed earlier in the Gemara, which is that why, when the woman returns, for instance, in a case where her husband went overseas and she thought him to be dead, he returns now and she has to get divorced from her husband as well as the second party that's there. She has to get a divorce from both of them. So why does she need a divorce from both parties? We understand why she needs a divorce from her husband, because she's married to him and the only way to dissolve the relationship is to get a divorce. But why does she need a divorce from the second husband, the one that she had a relationship through with, assuming that her husband had passed away? In the end, if her husband hadn't passed away, she was an eshet ish. She was a married woman. And therefore, whatever she did with that second husband wasn't really marriage. So why do we require her to get a get? So we explained in the Mishnah, and we explained in the Gemara, is because people might think that she really had divorced her original husband and married the second husband. And then they're going to see that she's just leaving the second husband without any get. And they're going to think that a woman can dissolve a relationship without a get, because there's this possibility that people, or the optics from looking from the outside, is that the reason she married this man here is because her original husband divorced her. Since her original husband divorced her, she was really married to the second individual. And they're going to wonder why she doesn't have to get a get to dissolve that relationship. So Ein Ochanami, we know that the husband was really alive and never divorced her, and therefore, she doesn't need to get a get from the second. But from the outside, the optics of it look like she might have divorced her first husband, married the second one. Now she's going out without any get. So we force her to get a get in that case. In an instance where it's achot ishto, and we discussed this before, there you can't suggest that that is the scenario. Because if he then marries his sister-in-law, and then the brother-in-law shows up, she does not need a get from the husband who married his wife's sister. Because over there, the mimonov shach, he couldn't marry this woman. Because as soon as his wife shows up, then we know for sure that his wife is alive. If his wife is alive, even if his brother-in-law had divorced her wife, the wife's sister, he would not be able to marry her because it's achot ishto. So in that case, we do not require to get a get from the original, from the second husband. I mean, the one we call husband in this scenario, we don't make her get a get. The wife's sister, we don't make her get a get from him, because Mimanov Shach, he couldn't have been married to her. Everybody knows that his wife is still alive, which means that he's restricted her sister, and there was no way, even if she divorced her original husband, that this individual could marry her. So in that case, we don't require a get from that second husband to the wife's sister, from the husband that we call in this scenario. So now, what is explained here is it depends on that husband's relationship with his wife. In an instance where he has a consummated marriage with his wife, everything that we said is true. Because if he has a consummated relationship with his wife, then her sister will remain asur to him until his wife passes away. And if his wife shows up, we know for sure that whatever relationship he had with his wife's sister was not a real relationship, and therefore it doesn't need a get. On the other hand, if he only has halachic engagement, kiddushim, with his wife when they go overseas, and then he ends up in a relationship with his wife's sister thinking that they had passed away, in that instance, people could have a mistaken assumption and assume that his wife that went overseas, actually, he was never married to her, because all he had was kiddushin with her, and maybe there was some residual t'nai or stipulation in the kiddushin that didn't come to fruition, and therefore he was never really married to this woman. Since he was never really married to this woman, he has to now give a divorce to his wife's sister, because people might think again that he married this woman, this wife's sister, because his original marriage to his wife dissolved because of the tanaim that were stipulated inside of that kiddushin. And because of that, he'll have to give a divorce in this case. The second assumption in Rabbi Yossi's position is that that granting of the divorce is what it makes her husband now restricted from returning to her. Since this other man has to present her with a divorce, she cannot return to her original husband, because it looks like now that she had married another man, and then it would be like Machzir Grushato if she goes back to her original husband. Based on those two assumptions, what Rabbi Yossi says is it makes a difference, the relationship between the husband and his wife, and that will affect the sister-in-law, the wife's sister's relationship with her husband. So in an instance where he has a fully consummated marriage with his wife, and then his wife goes overseas with his brother-in-law, his wife's sister's husband, and they're presumed to have passed away, and now he marries his wife's sister because they think that they had passed away and it was mutar, then they show up. When they show up over here, he does not have to grant a get to this woman, because once his wife is here, it's clear to everybody that he wasn't allowed to marry her and doesn't have to grant a get. If he doesn't have to grant a get, then since he does not pusel, he does not hurt his brother-in-law, his brother-in-law can now return to his wife because he does not have to grant a get to his wife's sister. So too, he should be permitted to take his wife back. But in the instance where he was only halakhically engaged to his wife, he only had kiddushin with her, and then they went overseas, the brother-in-law and his wife, and were presumed to have died, and now he marries his wife's sister. In that case, when her husband returns and his wife returns, he will have to give a get to his wife's sister. When he gives the get to his wife's sister, he will restrict her on her husband, on his brother-in-law. And just like he restricts her on his brother-in-law, his wife should then become a surah to him in that instance. And that's what Rabbi Yossi's statement is saying, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, that if he generates a restriction by having to give a get on his brother-in-law, then his wife should be restricted to him. If he does not cause a restriction for his brother-in-law because he doesn't have to grant a get, then his wife should be mutar to him. What is the difference in that case? When does he have to grant a get and not grant a get? It has to do with what his relationship with his wife is. If he's fully married, consummated marriage to his wife, he does not have to grant a get to his wife's sister, and therefore his brother-in-law is permitted to be with his wife's sister, and he will then be permitted to take his wife back, according to Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, if he only has kiddushin with his wife, then he will have to give a get to his wife's sister when the information is found to be wrong, and that will cause his brother-in-law now not be able to marry his wife's sister, so too he should not be then able to marry his own wife because of this get that he has to grant over here. And that's the statement of Rabbi Yossi. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in this instance. Matgiv la Rabbi Yosef. Umi amar Shmuel hachi. Did Shmuel really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? V'hayitmar. Don't we have an instance? Yivama. In a case of Yivama, Rav amar hari hi ke'eshedish. She is like a married woman. Shmuel amar, ain't a keshedish. She is not like a married woman. Now, we don't know exactly what their machloket is about, and now we have Rav Huna come and interpret for us what exactly is going on. Rav Huna, kugon. What's the scenario here? Kiddush achiv et aisha. The case here where his brother had kiddushin with this woman, v'alach lo demidinat hayam, and then he went overseas. So an individual has kiddushin with a woman, and then he heads overseas. B'shema shemet achiv. And then we get word back, Eid Echad comes and tells us that his brother passed away, Vamad, and therefore he goes ahead, Vinasat Ishto, and performs Yibum with his brother's wife, like he was supposed to do, assuming that his brother passed away, he was supposed to perform Yibum, and he goes ahead and does that. So now, what is the status here? The Rav Amar Harihi Ke'eshedish. She has the same status as an Eshedish. In our Mishnah, we know what the rules are for Eshedish. The rules for Eshedish is if a woman's husband went overseas, and she married after he went overseas, assuming that he had passed away, then her husband shows up, Tetzei Mizu Umizu. And Rav says that the case of Yivama is that same instance. If the husband went overseas here from Kiddushin and then comes back and we find out that in the interim his wife had performed Yibum with his brother, Teitzei Mizu Mizu, she has to leave the Yavam and she also has to leave her original husband. She loses out on both because she's like an Eshet Ish, and that's the din of an Eshet Ish. Vasura Yavam, and therefore she's restricted from the Yavam. Shmo Amar, Enoke Eshet Ish. She is not like an Eshet Ish. Visharyale, and therefore she can return to her original husband because she's not classified like an Eshet Ish in this case, and therefore she's not penalized by saying that she has to Teitzei Mizu Mizu, and therefore she can return to her original husband. You should know that there are some of the Rishonim that say Shayale means that she's permitted to go to the Yavam. Obviously she's not permitted to go to the Yavam now because her husband's here, but if her husband then passes away, she would then be permitted to go to the Yavam. That's how some of them explain it. But we explain it like Rashi, which says Sharyaleh means that she can return to the original husband. Now, if there was a case where they had Nisuin, in a case where he was fully consummated married to her, and then she thinks her husband passes away and performs Yibum with his brother, everybody agrees there that Muteret Lachzorlo. In that case, she's permitted to return to her original husband when she has a fully consummated marriage. On the other hand, in a case where it's only Kiddushin, she won't be able to return to her original husband. The reason being similar to what we said before, because it has to do with Geushin. It has to do with the divorce. In a case where he has a fully consummated marriage with his wife, then is presumed dead, and she then has a relationship with the Yavam, performs Yibum, she can return to her husband because the Yavam doesn't have to give her a divorce in that case, doesn't have to give her a get, because of course, if her husband's here, there's no way she could have married Eshet Achiv. And therefore, she returns to her husband without anything. On the other hand, in the case where he went overseas after only having Kiddushin with her, then she has Yibum with the brother. Over there, optically, other people from the outside could think the reason that she married the brother is not because of Yibum, but because he had a condition or stipulation in the Kiddushin, and that fell apart. And since that fell apart, now she is permitted to marry the brother, and she actually married the brother not because of Yibum, but because of a full-fledged marriage. So in that case, he'll have to give her a divorce because of those optics. And once he gives her a divorce, she can't return to the original husband because it'll look like Magzir Grushato. So that is the Machloket over here. Everybody agrees, again, by Nisuin, there's no get involved. Since there's no get involved, she can return to her original husband. The only question is when he only has Kiddushin. Where she has Kiddushin, and now the Avam will have to present a get. According to Rav, the presenting of that get makes it that she cannot return to her original husband because the reason that we don't let a woman return to her husband is when she gets a get, it looks like Magzir Grushato, and therefore we don't let her return to the husband. On the other hand, Shmuel says, no, the reason we don't let her return to her original husband is because of Kanas Chachamim, that Teitzei Mizu Mizu. So the get isn't Malei Morid. So it doesn't matter if she had a consummated marriage or she had Kiddushin. Even though in the case of Kiddushin, he has to present her with a get, that does not restrict her or not allow her to return to her original husband. As that is what Tosafot points out, that Shmuel actually takes a piece of Rabbi Yossi and a piece of the Chachamim, which is number one, that people do not get hooked up in Tanaim. People don't think that someone has a relationship that is built on stipulations in the Kiddushin, and therefore we're not choshesh for that and forced to give a get over here. But he holds like Rabbi Yossi that if a get was granted over here, then there would be a problem. So Shmuel, as opposed to Rav, thinks that you don't need a get when there's Erusin because we don't worry about Tanaim. We don't worry about these conditions being built into the Kiddushin. Rav thinks like Rabbi Yossi that we do worry about these conditions built in. If these conditions built in, we have to give a get. And if get is the reason, then can't return to her original husband. On the other hand, Shmuel, who holds like the Rabbanon, that we don't worry about all these conditions being built into the Kiddushin, therefore she doesn't need a get. But had she received a get over here, it would be problematic. So he holds like Rabbi Yossi that get is the problem to return the original husband. He just thinks in this case you don't need a get because he holds like the Chachamim that we don't assume that there were conditions built into the original Kiddushin. So now the Gemara has a question here. Shmuel seems to disagree with Rabbi Yossi. And just before he said halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. So Abaye's answer is, wait, when you say halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, we had two explanations of Rabbi Yossi's position. We had Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's position, which if he says halacha Rabbi Yossi seems to be soter, contradict Shmuel's statement over here. On the other hand, we had Rabbi Ami's explanation of Rabbi Yossi's position. And in Rabbi Ami's explanation of Rabbi Yossi's position, you wouldn't have a stira here in Shmuel, because they're talking about two different issues, two different cases completely. So that's what Abaye says. Why are you claiming this to be a stira over here? Maybe when he said halacha Rabbi Yossi, he meant halacha Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Ami's explanation. And therefore the statement of Shmuel here would not be a stira to that. Dilma ad Rabbi Ami kamar. Maybe he thinks the halacha Rabbi Yossi means in Rabbi Ami's explanation. Vinami ad Yitzchak Nafka. Even if you say that Rabbi Yossi's position that he says halacha is like Rabbi Yossi is in Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's explanation of Rabbi Yossi, mimai da posel. How do you know that it's talking about the side that is the posel side? Dilma a eno posel. Maybe he's talking about the eno posel. Rabbi Yossi makes two statements. Rabbi Yossi makes one statement, which is that if the husband causes a problem for someone else, it should cause a problem for himself. He also makes a second statement, which is that if he doesn't cause a problem for someone else, then his wife should not be restricted to him. So maybe eno posel is where he says halacha Rabbi Yossi. That's where he agrees with Rabbi Yossi in Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's statement, but not in the other half of it. Inami, or mimai de'ita l'drav huna. And beyond that, how do you know that Rav Huna's explanation of the machloket of Rav and Shmuel over here is correct? That's what's causing us the problem. Because his explanation of Shmuel causes that stira with the halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Dilma leita de Rav Huna, klal. Maybe the explanation of Rav and Shmuel's machloket here has nothing to do with what Rav Huna says. Ela k'drav nuna k'miflegei. That their machloket between Rav and Shmuel is not about what Rav Huna says, but rather, like Rav Hamnuna explains, Dama Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna explained that machlok between Rav and Shmuel differently. Shomeret Yavam Shizinta. In a case where you have a woman who is waiting to have Yibum performed with her, she goes ahead and has a relationship with a third party, intimate relationship with a third party, then Asurali Ma. Then she cannot have the Yibum performed in the end because she now has lost her ability to marry the Yavam. De Ravamar Harihika Eshadish. Because this is how Rav explains that din of Rav Hamnuna, which is that since she is like an ishit ish while she's awaiting Yibum, therefore, when she has this affair with this third party, misalab znut, that znut causes her to be as if she was married to the Yavam, and then she had an extramarital affair, and that's why she cannot marry the Yavam anymore. Ushmamar ainak ishit ish. No, she's not like an ishit ish when she's waiting for the Yavam. She's not like she's married to him, and therefore she has znut over there. Lo mifsalab znut. It won't affect her ability to marry the Yavam. Basically, Rav and Shmuel are arguing in this din of Rav Hamnuna based on what they think the status of a Yavama is while she's waiting for Yibum. Is she classified like an Eshadish, and therefore any extramarital affair will be like znut and restrict her from the Yavam, or not? And that would be the question of Rav and Shmuel. But then, if you explain Rav and Shmuel that way, it has nothing to do with the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's explanation of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore there would be no stira between the Pesukei Halacha of Shmuel. And that's how here the Gemara now explains that you can have both Pesukei Halacha of Shmuel be correct. Ve'inami b'kiddushin tofsim b'yavamaka miflegei. Maybe this is the thing that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. Forget about Rav Hamnuna. Maybe they're arguing about this issue, whether kiddushin or tofsin in a yavama. We actually saw this machloket back on Sadi Bet between Rav and Shmuel, which is when the pasuk says lo tieh ish nameta chutza liish zar. What does that imply? Does that imply that there is a lav and you're going to get malkot for having an affair with another party before yibum or chalitza are performed? Or does that teach you that even though there's only an iser lav for this woman to engage in a affair or a marriage with another party, the kedushin are not tofsim, even though it's only iser lav? This kedusha not tofsin. That might be the machloket Rav and Shmuel over here. That might be what they're arguing about. The Rav Amar Hei Keshadish. So she's like an Eshadish. By an Eshadish, if she goes as and has an extramarital affair, that relationship is not tofes. Kedushin are not tofes because she's a married woman. It's a chiyuv karet. Below tafsi by kedushin. And therefore so too by Yivama. Even though it's only an Isur Lav, because of the nature of the pasuk, she is like an Eshadish, and her kedushin would not be tofsin with a third party. Or, according to Shmuel, Amar, Enoch Eshadish. She is not like an Eshadish, and therefore, since it's only an Isra Lav, by Yisra Lav, Tafsi Ba Kedushin, Kedushin are Tofes. So Gemara says, Vai, Fliguba, Chadazimno. We already saw that Machlok between Rav and Shmuel back on Daf Tzadi Bet. So why are you repeating it over here? Gemara says, Chadamichlal, Techaver Taitmar, Enochanami. It's only one Machloket. It's just that here is the statement between Rav and Shmuel, and from this we extrapolated their opinions. And that's what we were explaining back on Tzadi Bet, was their opinions that derives from this explanation that Rav thinks that a Yavama is like an Eshadish, and Shmuel thinks that she is not like an Eshadish. Because of all of this maneuvering in the Gemara, it's not clear in the end when Shmuel said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, what exactly was he referencing? Was he renting Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka? And in addition, over here, what is Shmuel's opinion vis-a-vis a Yevama? We have three different scenarios about what the machloket is between Rav and Shmuel. Is it like Rav Huna? Is it like Rav Hamnuna? Or is it the issue of Tofes Ba'akidushin? And therefore, we don't really know when we say the halacha is kishmul or the halacha is kirav over here. It's hard to know because we don't know exactly where the machloket is. And therefore, you have a large machloket rishonim as to how the halacha turns out in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Tzadivav Amud Aleph.